received. Psalm 25. All right, well, let's read this psalm. We'll read all of the verses. Just remain seated. Let me give you the title so you can be thoughtful about the title as we read through it. The title this morning is, "It's Okay If You Have to Wait, Because God Will Always Follow Through." That's a good statement, isn't it? Let me say it again. It's okay if you have to wait. The thing we all like to do. Because God will follow, He'll always follow through. Let's begin in verse 1. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." See that word, remember? Kind of recalls what God has already demonstrated Himself as being faithful to do. When you remember something, you're remembering it because you've already experienced it. And one thing that I think that we can know about God is that He has been merciful all the time, hasn't He? Many times, all along the way. Tender mercies, loving kindness. They have been ever of old. Again, he says, remember, verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord?" I love this statement. "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." I love that phrase too. "I put my trust in thee." It's key. 21. "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Remember Israel, O God, out of all his..." Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Again, it's okay if you have to wait, because God will always follow through. Let's pray. Father, pray your blessings on the lesson this morning. We need to hear from you, and so we pray that you would do a work in our hearts. I pray for an emptying of myself. I pray not only that I commit to do that, but I pray for your help to do that. And then, dear Father, that you would allow that I would be filled with you and used of you to present your word. I pray you'd work in the hearts of your people this morning and help us to respond as we sang in prayer time this morning, "Trust and Obey." for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And I pray you'd help us to trust you today and to obey you. We love you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think that most of us this morning would be willing to admit that it's hard to wait sometimes. It's hard to wait on God when you feel like something needs to be done. Sometimes we get dramatic about it too. Something has to be done. Something has to be done today. Something needs to be said. Something needs to be, you know, dealt with. I mean, and it just kind of becomes a kind of dramatic situation where, you know, we almost feel pressured to act and to move and to do something. And really, it's sort of a hasty action that puts us in that mentality. And can I tell you that it's sort of a cultural thing too? I think that we are being raised in a culture, in a society of impatient people who are being bred to be impatient. It's a constant sort of process that's continuing to happen. Have you ever been somewhere and you found that there's a lot of people who are angry for no reason just because they had to wait a little longer than they wanted to wait? I found this survey that was done by the Associated Press about the Americans' attitude and behavior as it relates to impatience. Okay? And this is not an exhaustive survey. I'm just pulling a couple of the high notes here. But the findings were that while waiting in line in an office or a store, that if it takes an average of 17 minutes for most people, that's when they lose their patience. 17 minutes. Now, that's a long time, I feel like. I feel like that's a high average. Some of you, I wonder, 17 minutes, I'm thinking there's no way some of us are lasting 17 minutes. On the phone, if it takes longer than 9 minutes, people lose their patience. 9 minutes. Women lose their patience waiting in line for 18 minutes on average, and men have a tendency to lose their patience much quicker than ladies. So I guess that's where we get our average. But for men, it's 15 minutes. This was an interesting note. People with lower income and less education are often far more patient than those who have a higher college education and a higher income. But I think that most of us would agree that waiting for anything can be a trying test in life. And it is certainly true when it comes to the things that we desire to see God do in our lives. Sometimes we go through hard things and we want God to step in and to act and to deal with these issues that we're struggling with. And if God doesn't act swiftly, then we struggle with that. For example, times of crisis, if there's a health issue. I remember when Grant had his health issue when he was a baby, and it was a crisis. And so the whole process took time to get to the hospital, he had to be helicopter flew to the Children's Mercy, and then we had to drive, and that was a long 45 minute or shorter. We squeezed a 45 minute drive into 30 minutes somehow, and the Lord gave grace in that way. But I think sometimes in times of crisis, we reach out to God and we have expectations there as it relates to our health issues. And we sometimes have health issues, don't we? We have family members who have, for example, like cancer or things that affect their health, and that can be a burden. And sometimes we desire to see God step in and heal, and when it isn't happening like we want or we like to see God do, then it really affects us. It hurts us. We have trouble waiting in those times when it relates to health. Sometimes it's relationship conflict. Like, for example, in a marriage, when there's a conflict between you and your spouse, and, you know, or maybe an expectation in the marriage, where you would have this expectation of your husband, or you have this expectation of your wife, and you're wanting to see them make some changes. I know Melissa and I, through the years, there have been many times where she just wanted me to change some of the bad habits that I had. or add some good habits. It's kind of a bad habit because I don't do some things, you know. And so she desired changes with that. And it's just hard to wait when you want some, whenever you desire so much for something to improve. And just waiting. You feel like sometimes it'll never happen, don't you? And I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about maybe any kind of a relationship issue, a conflict that you have with somebody else. You want it to improve and you wait, but it's hard to wait. Sometimes it's desires. I think about teens and young adults who want to be married or have a relationship. Now, I don't think we have anybody that's in the category right now. I want to be, they're at the age, you know, I want to be married. A little bit too young for that. Amen. Yes, you teen boys. But there could be interest there along the way to have a kind of relationship with somebody. And what does God want us to learn how to do? To wait, right? It's wise to wait. And that can be difficult, waiting on God, waiting for God to provide the kind of relationship that would be according to His will and right. And waiting in those times can be hard. Financial burdens arise. It can be hard to wait for God to provide the finances when it's tight and there's a struggle there, you know, or maybe even in the job situation, waiting for God to, you know, take care of an issue in the work side, whatever it is that you might be dealing with that. Sometimes God works and he's not working, and we don't understand why it's taking so long. And we want to know why is God doing this in my life? Why aren't things going quicker for me? And so in those times, it's hard to wait for God when it feels like it's taking so long. And then our emotions get involved. And I gave some examples. And you have your own examples of things that at times it's hard for us to wait for God. But when you're waiting and God isn't acting, and then your emotions get involved because you're disappointed with how slow it's going, then what are we tempted to do? We're tempted to get involved ourselves. We're tempted to take control. We're tempted, let me say it like this, to get ahead of God. God's taking too long. God's not responding. God's not acting. I'm going to act. I'm going to take control. I'm going to do what I was hoping God would do, but I think I'm going to take over. And I don't think we move into these kinds of things with that in mind, that we're going to get ahead of God or that we're going to take over for God. I think sometimes in our mind we either don't think about God, we just think maybe God is okay with us doing it our way, or we think we're going to help God out. But the only thing that's really happening when you're not willing to wait for God is you're getting ahead of Him. You're getting ahead of Him. Or you're moving in a direction that He is not going to lead. And He's not leading and He's not going to lead. But that happens because it's hard to wait for God. And David here was willing to wait for God. He was going through a lot. He talked a lot about sin. He talked a lot about consequences. Here he talks a lot about enemies and being attacked and going through these things. And this is a poetic kind of psalm. It's a song. Clearly this is meant to be sung. And if you read the Hebrew, it's kind of like an acrostic. When in my studies, one reason why I was going to deter from this and do something else, because this was a real challenge for me to write a lesson on this, because it's an acrostic. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse begins with the first letter, and it goes through the alphabet of the Hebrew. So it's like A, B, A to Z. And so he's writing poetry, he's writing a song, but he's also communicating a message. And so there's a thread through this of being patient and waiting for God, but he's communicating through this poetry and through this song his confidence in God that gives him the ability to wait for God. Now, that's critical. He was confident in God. And that's what gave him the ability to wait for God. Now, note this with me. Look at verse 3. He says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. The word ashamed, you know, has to do with, or the root word of it is shame. And so David here has, he's not ashamed of the Lord. And so in a sense, he, you know, it sort of implies that there is a, you know, a confidence in God and his relationship. Look what it says next. Verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. So he's not ashamed. He says, show me thy ways. He says, teach me. Verse 5, he says, lead me in thy truth. Teach me. And then he said, thou art my salvation. Look at the last part of verse number 5. On thee do I wait all the day. Verse 21, all the way to the end of the chapter. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. So he's waiting on God, but if you read the psalm, it's not like he's waiting in an impatient kind of way. He's waiting with confidence. He trusts God. He even said the words, for I trust in thee. So he has confidence in God. The word wait here means to look for. It means to hope. It means to have a kind of expectation. So David has an expectation in God. His expectation is that God will follow through. And he had that confidence. You know, it's frustrating to wait for somebody if you're not sure if they're going to show up. Isn't it? And whenever they don't show up, your expectations are met in some ways. But it doesn't make you feel good, especially if you waited for a long time and they said they would be there. It's aggravating. Melissa and I took the boys to play laser tag on Caleb's birthday on Friday in Omaha, and it was a blast. I didn't do the laser tag, but we did play basketball. It was a neat place in Omaha. It's where they had this bowling alley, this arcade deal. They had this whole section for laser tag, and then they had a gymnasium on the end of this building, all attached, with three indoor, beautiful basketball courts, all just open. And there was no basketball, so we had brought a basketball, so we actually played two games, three-on-three games in there, and we had a lot of fun with that. But then after we got done playing, you know, Melissa went to the van. And she got it started because it was hot out. It was warm outside, so she was waiting out there for us. And the boys went to the bathroom and dried off the smelly sweat. It didn't help the smell, but we dried off some and got a drink of water. But here's what we didn't know. We didn't know that Melissa had went to the van and started it, and she was waiting out there for us. We didn't know that. We thought she was in the bathroom, and she was the only girl in our group. So it was a whole bunch of boys and Melissa, and she was in the bathroom. So we just waited. But we didn't know she's waiting outside while we're waiting in the building for her, thinking she was in the bathroom. And it was taking a long time. And we're thinking, man, what is the deal? So finally, I'm the only one who had the guts. I went to the girl's bathroom. I didn't go in, but I poked my head in, and I hollered out to Melissa to see if she's okay in there, and she wasn't in there. So that was an awkward moment, but she wasn't there. And so what happened in that instance is we were waiting for her, but she wasn't there. And I think sometimes we struggle in the process of our lives of waiting for God, because we feel like maybe God is going to be that way. We're not sure if God is going to be there, if he's going to follow through. David was not discouraged about what he was going through. And yeah, sure, he had to wait. He was waiting. But he wasn't discouraged about it. He wasn't upset. He was okay with waiting. I mean, think about that. He had to wait for who knows how long, but he was okay with it. He wasn't discouraged about it. Can we say that Can we say that we have to wait for a long time about some things, but we're not discouraged about this waiting thing that we have to do? I think that we can't always be have the kind of confidence that David had. But David knew, didn't he? He knew something about God that I think sometimes you and I know, but we forget. And that is, God is trustworthy. Look at verse 20, the last phrase. I love that. He says, I put my trust in thee. That word trust there, if you look it up, it means these two things. It means, number one, it means hope. But it's not a kind of hope where, you know, like we would think of hope today in America. I sure hope so. I hope God shows up. It doesn't mean that. And this is the second word. It means confidence. And so David had a hope that was confident. He trusted God. And trust is the best word. He trusted God. That was the confidence. But I think sometimes that's where we struggle. We sometimes struggle, I think, having a confidence in the waiting that God's going to follow through. Sometimes we fight battles, and we fight these battles, we move into these conflicts prematurely because we can't wait for God. Or we get involved with things that we should not watch, we should not be involved with, or we shouldn't be involved with it yet. We move too soon. We moved without God. And when we go into those things, we have a tendency to cram our foot inside of our mouth. Have you ever done that? Have you ever choked on your own foot? Those are horrible things, but we do that. Do you know what that analogy or that little illustration means? It means you got ahead of God. And in the process of this little conflict you are having with somebody, you weren't willing to wait for God, and you opened your mouth and you said things that later you realize, or maybe right when it came out of your mouth, if you're wise, if you have a tendency to maybe learn quickly, then you'll say right when it came out of your mouth, I shouldn't have said that, you know. And guys, sometimes we do that, right, to our wives. We say it and then we think, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Or you'll find out, you'll think of it later. You know what? Really, I feel bad about what I said. I shouldn't have said that. But no matter whether it's now, right away, or later, you know, it's just us getting ahead of God. Sometimes this happens because the situation is dramatic. Remember when I said in the opening statements of this lesson that sometimes stuff is really dramatic. And the conflict there is almost by the other party being made out to be like a life or death situation. Like, they're frantic about it. I mean, have you ever gotten a phone call and they're just on the other line and they're frantic and they're trying to explain it to you, and you're thinking, man, what's going on? Is your child choking on something, you know? And then when they get the whole thing out and then you think about it for a minute, it's not as big of a deal as it's being made out to be on the other end of the line. Did you know that often stuff that we move into, conflicts that we move into and say things and get ourselves involved with, we do it way too quickly, hastily. We get involved, watch, we get ourselves involved with things because we feel like something needs to be said or done, and we're not waiting for God. And we're getting ourselves involved, and it's a problem for a couple of reasons. One, we're premature. We're getting involved when, if we would not have gotten involved, it could have been, and probably it would have worked itself out. You know, if we'd have just gave it some time and kept our 2 cents out of it, this situation could have worked itself out. But we were premature. Sometimes we feel the pressure to get involved. Something needs to be said. Something needs to be done. You know, this, as a pastor, I deal with this a lot. And I don't know that I can say that I'm not a dramatic or haven't been a dramatic person. I have been. But I get caught up in it easily. I had in the past. I've been guilty of being caught up in dramatic situations. And when you're a pastor, that's not a good thing because you deal with it quite a bit, you know, more times than I would like to say. And so when there's a family conflict over here and it feels like, man, if I don't say or do something, they're going to get a divorce or whatever. And then I step in and I get involved. Then I'll find out, like, later, you know, I shouldn't have got involved with that. Because if I would have just waited, if I would have just sought the Lord and prayed about it, then this would have worked out without me. But now I got involved, and actually I made it worse because now I'm in the middle of it. And I need to, I have a lot of egg on my face, but it caused more problems. So it's more than just this little egg thing. I mean, I'm trying to hold together a relationship that I helped put friction there. So the friction's between them, but it's also now got me involved with it. And it would have been better if I just stayed out of it, you see? And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes we get involved before we should have. Why? Because we don't know how to wait sometimes. We feel that pressure. I need to do something. I need to say something. I need to get involved right now. Hang on a second. If you're feeling like that, then you need to get on your knees and don't get involved right now. Unless, like, there is a tragic or crisis, somebody's choking on something, that's not the time to pray. That's the time to do the Heimlich if you know how to do that. But you understand what I'm saying. I mean, there's situations we just need to wait. It's hard to wait, though. Especially when you love the two or love the people that this conflict is there, you see. But it can make it worse if we don't wait for God. You understand? Amen? I think I missed Brother Tim's amens. How about this? Teens and adults looking for relationships and have that struggle to wait. Waiting for the time when it's God's timing. I think about young people who struggle with this. And I remember the days when I was a teen. Do you remember those days when you were young? And you just had a hard time waiting. But it's not worth it when you're not willing to wait, guys. Whenever you pursue those passions that you feel inside and you get involved with relationships prematurely, it never brings blessings back to you. It always brings curses back to you. It never makes things better and only makes things harder and worse. And then always leave scars. Waiting for God can be hard in those times. Also, loved ones who need to be saved. It can be hard to wait for God to work in their hearts, can't it? I mean, we all have loved ones who need to be saved. Some of them are in our prayer sheet in the bulletin. And some of them are just close loved ones, and you're burdened about them. And by the way, shouldn't we be burdened about our loved ones needing to be saved? And you've waited, and you've waited, and you've waited, and you're praying. And if you're not careful, knowing that your loved one needs to be saved, and feeling like something needs to be done, and something needs to be said, or they're never going to get saved, then you'll push yourself into saying and doing things that will only make it harder for them to get saved. And we need to remember this. Salvation is a sensitive thing for people. How? Well, it's God who works in the hearts. And we need to remember that. He's the one that brings conviction to them. And God can use you to be an example, to be a conduit to get the gospel to them, just even through your life. What you do is sometimes a presentation of the gospel. And I'm not just talking about lifestyle evangelism without telling or inviting people to come to church. But there is something to our lifestyle being evangelistic. And people look at our lives and how we act and what we do and what we don't do and what we say and what we don't say. And it has an effect on them. And so God can use you in that way to be an example to your lost loved ones, to bring them to God, and then inviting them to church, and then letting, and maybe even at times doing a Bible study with them or reading verses with them. And God will use that because it's His word that works in the heart. It's His word that breaks down the hardness that's there. But if it's not happening quickly, it's taking a long time, and you maybe have been waiting for a long time, then you'll start to get ahead of God in saying things like, why aren't you getting saved, you know? And it's not wrong necessarily at times to ask questions like that if you genuinely just want to know what the hindrance is. Like, is there a burden or something bothering you? Or is there a wall there that's hindering you? And maybe we can get to the bottom of some things. But if the nature of your questions and the feelings that you have and the conversations you're having with your loved ones who need to be saved is because you want them to get saved, and it becomes kind of a pressure towards them, what can end up happening, and I've seen this over and over and over, unfortunately, is they'll get saved for you. They'll come to church, they'll pray the prayer, they'll go through the motions, and they'll do it for you. But you and I know, we've been in this long enough to know, that is not salvation. And they didn't get it. And maybe it makes you feel a little bit better, but because they made a profession, but it's not real. And that'll manifest itself. They won't come. They won't be faithful. They don't really have any interest in the things of God. Now, I'm not saying if somebody doesn't come to church, that means they're lost. But I will say this, and I think I can say this with confidence. If there's no desire to grow, if there's nothing in there that has any kind of a desire for God, then it could be that it's not there. They don't have salvation, you know, because when you get saved, God moves in. But the point is that we have to let God do that work. And it takes patience. We have to wait at times longer than we want. There's a host of other things that it's tough to wait for, but and I have them in my notes. But can we suffice it to say that it's hard to wait for God sometimes? It's hard to wait. David knew that God was absolutely reliable, and that's what made it easier for him to wait. He knew that God was absolutely reliable. Let's look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 1. It says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Verse 2, "O my God, I trust in thee." Verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." Verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me." Verse 6, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." Verse 8, "Good and upright is the Lord." Verse 10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth." Verse 20, "O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." So all of these things point to a confidence that David had in God. Everything that he's saying here, David is saying with confidence. God, I know this is who you are. God, I know I can rely on you in this in my life. God, I know that you will be faithful in this way. David had that confidence. There was a man who parked his car on the side of a slope. It was a pastor, actually, in front of the church, and he parked it on this slope. And he had this terrier, little terrier dog, and he had his windows cracked, you know. He was just going to go in for a little time. And so he had his dog in the back seat, and you couldn't see it from the window. And he had his windows cracked, and so he got everything ready. He was going to head into the church, and he hollered into the window to the dog. He said, "Stay," just like that. And then he was going to head into the church, but he didn't know there was an elderly gentleman on the other side of the street that didn't know there was a dog in his car. And so he suggested with a grin on his face to the pastor, "Why don't you just try using the emergency brake?" And he thought he was saying to the car, "Stay." Note this morning that sometimes Cars aren't reliable, are they? Sometimes dogs aren't reliable. There's a lot of things that we have in life that aren't reliable. And I think sometimes we feel that God is almost in the category of the things that aren't reliable. But David didn't feel that way. David lifted his soul to God. He trusted God. His heart and his eyes were opened for the Lord's path. He saw God as merciful and forgiving and compassionate. He saw God as good. He said, "I am not ashamed." All terms of confidence. One writer said it like this: David was dependent, he was satisfied, and he was quiet from the fear of evil. Although he had to wait, although he was in the midst of what you and I might consider a kind of a struggle, tragedy in some ways, he had a confidence in God. He knew that God would confide in those that confided in him. Look at verse 12 with me again. He says, What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. One writer said it like, spoke of those verses this way. He says, the one who fears the Lord is the one who is instructed by the Lord's word. So there's a mutual confidence there, or a mutual confiding. It's like David is saying, if I confide in you, then you'll confide in me. God said, David said, you fear the Lord will teach you. And so you draw nigh to the Lord, and he'll draw nigh to you. He had a confidence that God would follow through. There was a family who was vacationing to a lake one summer, and the father was, you know, in the boathouse doing some work, and his 12-year-old son was supposed to be watching his 5-year-old son. And the 5-year-old, he got distracted, and the 5-year-old son named Billy said, you know what, I'm going to go down to the dock, the boat dock, and see the shiny boat down there and see about that. And so he made his way down to the boat dock, and he had one foot on the boat and he had one foot on the dock like that, and he slipped and fell into the water. It's 5 feet of water. And his brother, the 12-year-old, screamed as he noticed his brother fall into the water. The dad jetted out of the boathouse and ran down to the dock and dove into the water. And it was murky and dark, and he couldn't find him. He was waving all around, went to the bottom and was trying to find him in the dirt on the bottom, and came up out of the water, gasped for air, and went back down in looking for his son, and he couldn't find him. And finally, while he was waving his arms around like this, he felt his foot, his son's foot, and he grabbed it, but he couldn't pull his son to him, so he was trapped in something. And so he pulled himself to his son, and he noticed that his son had wrapped his arms around the post of the dock and was 4 feet. He was right at the bottom with his arms just secured around this post. And his father pried his fingers loose, took him to the top, and they both gasped for air, saved him. Amazing. And, the adrenaline is just pumping and just a lot of emotions there. But whenever they finally calmed down, the father looked at his son and he said, son, why were you holding on? What were you doing holding on to the bottom of the, holding on to that post at the bottom of the boat dock? And just like a 5-year-old toddler could say, he said, dad, I was just waiting for you. I was just waiting for his dad. You know what he had? He had confidence. So confident that he said, you know what? I'm just going to secure myself to this dock post, and I'm just going to wait there. His dad's going to show up. And dad showed up. You know, we need to have a kind of confidence in the Lord that will help us to wait. That will help us to know that if we wait, if we're willing to wait, that God's going to follow through. He's not going to leave you alone. God has not forgotten about you. You felt like he has in some ways, at times, sometimes. And if you haven't, you will. We all go through this. We have struggles. We have hard things that we go through. And we wonder, God, are you there? Did you forget about me? He hasn't forgotten about you. He just wants you to wait for him. And can I say this morning that we're wise to wait for God? And we're going to make things far harder and worse if we get ahead of him. Can I tell you this morning, can I encourage you this morning to wait for God, and let's decide that we're not going to get involved with things prematurely, that we're not going to get ourselves involved with things that we shouldn't be involved with, that will require us to pay a consequence because now we're involved with something that we should have just waited for God. That we would decide this morning, like David, listen, this is a tough situation. There's a conflict here. There's a relationship issue here. I have these desires and it's hard for me to wait. Whatever it is, that you would say this morning, I trust God enough that if I wait for him and I decide that I'm not going to get myself involved with things prematurely or things that I shouldn't be involved with at all and wait for God, and often that's right on our knees, because let's consider that what David is doing here is he's praying, seeking God in prayer, that we would be on our knees waiting for God, trusting him with confidence, like David said, I put my trust, my confidence, I'm confiding in you, God. I believe you. I trust you. I know some things about you, God. David says, I know some things about you. We can say that. I know some things about you, God. And here's what you can know. He's going to follow through. Has there ever been a day? Has there ever been a time that God hasn't kept his promise and not followed through? And the answer is no. You just might have to wait longer than you want to wait. But it's okay. It's okay if you have to wait. Why? Because he'll always follow you. He'll always follow you. Just wait. He'll follow through. Father, this morning, we need you to help us to remember the truthfulness of this passage, that, Lord, we so often run ahead of you into actions that and words and activities and involvement, it just really makes things harder. Waiting, and often it's just because waiting is hard sometimes. Pray that you'd help us to have a confidence in you like David had, so that we can trust that you'll follow through and that you're trustworthy and that you'll lead us to get involved when it's your time, that we don't have to be hasty. We don't have to rush into things. Because you'll do far better of a job of dealing with it than we will. Would you help us to have that kind of faith? Thank you for your grace. Help us to learn to wait. Help us to remember it's okay if we have to wait. because you'll always follow through. It's in your name we pray. Amen.